to invite you to join us here again in Liberty Bray and to bring a word. This word, I believe, is the word the Lord would have me share here. The last few weeks I've been looking through the scriptures trying to find something that would maybe come alive to me and speak to me. And as Sinead said, she got life bit by bit. It was pretty, I was not seeing any life. And I was wondering, God, where am I going to go with this? What do you want me to speak on? And this kept coming to me. It's a word that I spoke on maybe two or three times in the last 10 years. And I kept saying, but I don't want to speak on that because I've spoken that before. Can you give me something new? But it kept coming back that this was the word that the Lord wanted me to share. So I had to remove my own pride out of the way and submit to what he wants, because he knows what he's doing. You know, I may want to go a different direction, but I don't stand here today because of what I want to do. In fact, I run from public speaking. I don't like it, and I would not stand here unless I thought that God wanted me to stand here. So I trust that what I have to bring today is from God, and it's for all of us here this morning, even me. In fact, every time I come to this particular word, I see something new in it. And again, I've seen something new in this that I'm going to share today. But the subject within itself, it's so vast that I think we could spend the rest of our lives just studying this one thing, and we would never mine the riches from it. We would never actually fully get the treasures that are in this word. And I hope that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord allows me to bring some sort of clarity to what I'm going to speak on this morning. So, this morning I want to speak on the river of the water of life. So the river of the water of life. When we think about rivers, even from a natural point of view, we know them to be a source of life. In fact, from the earliest civilizations, they always formed along riverbanks, because of course that made sure that they would have the essentials to survive: food, water, and fertile land for crops and that. And in the scriptures, when we go to the scriptures, we'll see many references about rivers, and again, how they are a source of life. So we're going to read through a few scriptures just to get us started. And we're going to go on a bit of a journey here, so please forgive me. And I hope that you stay with me on this. But we're going to start in Genesis. We're going to start in the very beginning. From Genesis, we're going to go to the desert with Moses. And then from Moses, as if like totally in the wrong direction, we're going to go right up into the heavens and look into the book of Revelation. Because I think in order for us to understand what's going on here, that that is the way we should go, to bring a deeper understanding as to what's happening. So Genesis 2:10 reads, "A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden, dividing into four branches." Ezekiel 47:9, "Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh." So where the river flows, everything will live. And in Isaiah 48:21, we read, "They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out." So in these scriptures we see the rivers here speaking about God's provision, God's life for his people. But I want to pay particular attention to this last verse I just read from Isaiah. "They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. Now there's so much here in this particular scripture. So obviously Isaiah is referring to God's provision in the deserts for Moses. When Moses is leading his people, God's people, through the desert, he's talking about the miraculous provision. God tells Moses, his people are crying out for water, they're thirsty, and he says, strike the rock and water will come out, enough water for all the people and all the cattle. But we note here that the scripture doesn't say desert. It actually says deserts. It wasn't just a one-time event, but every time God's people thirsted upon their journey, there was the miraculous provision of water, and that from a rock. You know, think about it, a rock in the desert, you know, and water just coming miraculously from that. But every step along their journey, that same miracle happened for them. And you know, if that was all that we were to get from this particular scripture, that would be enough, wouldn't it? Just God's miraculous provision at that time, in a place where the people thirsted, in a place where it looked like there was nothing for them to drink, God provided. But there's so much more in this scripture. It's when we come to the New Testament that we read 1 Corinthians 10 verse 3. The Apostle Paul, he just shines some more light, if you like, on what's actually going on there. So this is what it says. And all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. And that sounds pretty odd, doesn't it? So I'll read it again. And all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Now I know, again, there's a lot in this, but I want to focus on two areas. Firstly, the water and the rock in the desert were spiritual. That sounds very odd, doesn't it? So the rock was spiritual and the water was spiritual, okay? And secondly, and possibly the more important part that I want to focus on, is that the rock that the water flowed from, that rock was Christ. It's difficult to get your head around that, isn't it? I'm hoping that we will bring a bit of clarity to it. But basically what this is saying is that the rock in the desert is struck. That rock that was struck was Christ. And when he is struck, the water of life gushed out. Now that's some image, isn't it? So when Christ, the rock in the desert, was struck, the water of life gushed out from where? From Christ. So just keeping with that picture, okay, we're going to go to the book of Revelation 22 verse 1. And I hope I'm bringing you along on this journey, because we are going to go from different scriptures. Revelation 22:1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So what's happening here? We know the Apostle John, he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he is lifted in vision up into the city of God, and he's told to record what he sees. Now, we visited Patmos a few years ago. It's a beautiful island, and we actually visited the place where John had this vision, and it's in a cave up in the hills. And you go into this cave, and there's a corner where there's indentations in the ground, and they say that that's where John knelt and prayed and received this vision. It was a strange experience being there. And up in the corner of the cave, there was a little hole where when the sun rose in the morning, the light would come in and just shine on him. And that's possibly the only light that he got, because the cave is dark. It's like a dungeon, really. But there, in his darkest moments, he is lifted by God into the heavens, and he's given a vision. And I know for some of us here, and certainly for me, it was in my darkest moments, in the throes of addiction, when I was broken, that God lifted me. And I'll share a bit about that in a while. But he lifted me from that dark place, and he lifted me into the heavenlies, and I too received a vision. And I'll share that with you in a bit. But so John is lifted up, and he receives this vision. And in it he sees the river of life, and it's flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So the angel tells him to record this vision. I think we can assume, right? It's the river of life. I think we can assume that all life, everything that has breath, everything that lives and breathes, and everything that has ever lived, has drawn its life from this river. Okay? And we're told then that this river is as clear as crystal. So try to imagine that, if you can. The throne of God and of the Lamb, and a river as clear as crystal, transparent and brilliantly pure. So pure that the heavenly light, eternal light, passes through it uninterrupted with perfection. That's some image, isn't it? Imagine a river, a crystal river like that, flowing up in the heavens. I have here, I can just imagine that it's surging with the purity that comes from Christ. Surging with power and carrying with it all the riches and life of Christ, and all of the light of heaven. I could stay on that for ages. I really could. It's such a beautiful sight. It's so beautiful in my imagination. Now remember now the rock in the wilderness. God struck his rock, that was Christ. And out from Christ came the rivers of the water of life. So what is happening on earth is a reflection of what is actually going on in heaven. That river that is flowing from Christ flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb and into this earth. So just as in that story we read about Moses and that God's provision for his thirsty people, God always provides for his people. You know, all we need to do is bring our thirst to him. Revelation 22:17 reads, "For the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who desires the water of life drink freely." Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires the water of life drink freely. No wonder Jesus can say, when you think about what we've just said here, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Why help? Because he is the source of life. Out from him comes the river of the water of life. And it's so obvious that without Christ, how can there be any life? If he is the source of life, without Christ there's no life. Without Christ, as we've seen, there is no river. Now, understanding what we've just heard, let's read 1 John 5, verses 11 to 12. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Is it becoming a little bit clearer? I hope so. It's a very hard subject to try and speak on, because it's obviously something that is of a spiritual nature. But I suppose what we can see, that if Christ is the source, if the river of life flows from him, then wherever he is, there is life. Whoever has Christ has life. Whoever does not have Christ does not have life. So what is the question? Today, for each of us, do we have this life? Can we all maybe put up our hands and say that we have this eternal life? Is this something that we're sure of? And if we have it, can we have it in measures? Can we have a small piece of this? Or can we have an ocean of this life? I think it's safe to say that there's no lack in Christ. Would we all agree there? But is there a lack in us this morning? If we say that we have Christ and there is no lack in him, do we lack anything? Are we fully immersed in this river of life? Do we have as much of Christ as what we could have? Or is there more for us? Or let's be honest, do we feel spiritually dull? Do we feel like, yes, there is more, but I have not attained that? I once heard the spiritual life described in this way, and I think it fits in nicely here. So when we look out at the ocean and we can see that there is a horizon, when we actually get to that horizon, what do we see? We see another horizon, don't we? And so too with our spiritual life. There is always more. When we look ahead and we see something we want to attain to, something deeper, when we get there, there is more. And when we get to that horizon, there is another one to come. Until, of course, we get to the shores of heaven. And so there is always more in the spiritual life for us. But We've got to ask myself, how far have I gone out? How far have we gone out? How far have you gone out? Have you maybe come to the first horizon and stopped? Do you think that there is more? Are you aware that there is more? Or have we come to just be happy where we're at? We come to Christ, we get saved, and we feel that that is it, that is everything. Notice it's not. There's so much more for us. And He wants us to have more. He wants us to be fully immersed in Him, fully immersed in His river. In Ezekiel chapter 47, we see something like this. Ezekiel is given a vision of the river of life, and the river is flowing out from the temple. First he enters up to his ankles, then up to his knees, and then up to his waist, until finally the river is deep enough for him to swim in. And that gives us a picture, you know, of Christ drawing us out into Him, into the deeper places, so that we can have the fullness of life that He wants to give us. So this morning, are we satisfied with where we are, or do we want more of Him? Are we actually thirsty? Is there something in us that wants more than what we have now? Revelation 21 verse 6 says, "To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life." So do we really want more of this life? Do we thirst for the eternal things? Or are we happy with the things that are of this world? Is that where we find our fulfillment? There is so much more. There is so much more, guys. And Christ wants us to have that. And our only requirement is that we thirst for Him. That we thirst for more of Him. More of His life. Why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we? Jesus says in John 4:14, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life." What does he mean, we'll never thirst again? Because I met Christ 20 years ago and I'm still thirsty. But what he means is we never thirst again for the things of the world. For me, it was drugs. It was alcohol. It was a life of crime. But when I met with Christ, I never thirsted again for those things. But I always wanted more of him. So we will never thirst again for the things of this earth. And that's why we see in Tiglin, we see people come in and their lives are destroyed because of bad choices, because of addiction. But then they meet with Christ and that addiction is broken. It's lifted from them. And they go and they seek after him. And for those that follow him, they will go further and deeper into the things of Christ and further away from the things that enchained them, that enslaved them. And look, I can testify to that. And I know there's possibly one or two more here that could testify to the same thing. So it makes so much sense that when we speak about encountering Christ, that we can speak about encountering this river of life, doesn't it? And this crystal-like purity carries with it the light and the life of heaven. Heavenly life. Spiritual life. It's beautiful. There is nothing on this earth that can compare to this life. It is unbelievably beautiful. And once you have grasped it, once you've even caught a glimpse of it, you will want more and more. You won't want for the things of this earth. And you know what? Once we encounter Christ in this measure, we will never want for the things of this earth again, because they will never satisfy us. Our full satisfaction will be found in that place with Him. We have here, but it's not a thing we receive, because yes, we become spiritually alive in Christ. His living water is spiritual water, but we actually receive a person. When we come into Christ and we encounter His living water, we are encountering a person. We are born again of a different spirit. We're born actually of the Spirit of God. We are born of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Word says in John 7, verses 2-39. When He, Jesus, said living water, He was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in Him. So according to this scripture, the river of life that we have been speaking of, this river of life is the Holy Spirit of God. Now that sort of adds a different dimension to what we read in Revelation 22 verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That would now read, then the angel showed me the Holy Spirit, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Isn't that some picture? When we think of this river of life coming from the throne of God and the Lamb, when we think of what John seen when he's lifted into the heavenlies, we now see that as the Spirit of God coming out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So from the throne of God and the Lamb flows the Holy Spirit. And so wherever the Holy Spirit goes, there is life. Isn't that some vision, isn't it? Wherever the Spirit of God goes, there is life. I've experienced it. And I know many of us here have. I just couldn't get over that part, you know. Just that place of the Spirit of God being the river of the water of life. It's just sort of imprinted on my brain now, because there we see the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost working together. God strikes Christ, and what happens? Out from Christ comes the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth. What did Jesus say? Unless I go, He, the Spirit of truth, will not come. Unless I go, He, the Spirit of life, will not come. Unless I am struck for your sins and return to my Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit will not come. But thank God that He has returned to His heavenly throne, and that the Spirit of God This river of life has come. And he's flowing freely for all of us who will believe. And Jesus is calling out this morning, as he did in John 7, verse 37 to 38. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and what? Come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. We see from this scripture there's four requirements here. Anyone who is thirsty may come. We must thirst. Anyone who believes may come. Look, I came to God thirsty, but I was thirsting for the wrong things, you know. I think we all thirst for something, don't we? I think we all thirst for God. We're born with that within us, but we don't know what it is. For me, I tried to find that in drugs, you know, in living in a crazy way. I tried to find satisfaction. I was thirsty, but it's only when I met with Christ that I realized that that's what I was thirsty for, because that satisfied me. So we must thirst, we must believe. And when we believe, come. And there's still one more thing we need to do. And many of us forget to do it. When we come, he says, drink. Not alcohol. When he says to him, come. Okay. Thirst, believe, come and drink. And now there's something in that. Tells us the result will be rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being when we come and we drink. I want to talk about what happened to me. I think it fits in here and it might explain what I'm trying to say. When I was in rehab in Scotland, and I was really, really bad. I had a couple of prison sentences looming. I had done some horrible things to get some money for my drugs, and I ended up in a lot of trouble. I ended up suicidal. I was broken after many, many suicide attempts. I was still alive. Didn't want to be alive, but I was still alive. And I went into this rehab, and they told me about Jesus, and I said, "Yous are off your heads. Yous are off your heads." One night I was out in a church that was part of the program. It was Teen Challenge and you had to go to church, so I begrudgingly went to church. I was telling everybody there they were brainwashed. God wasn't real. I was an atheist. I had come to the conclusion that God did not exist. One of the guys says to me during an altar call, "Gary, will you go and will you receive prayer?" And I said, "Why would I do that? God is not real. Why would I go?" And he said to me, "Are you afraid?" And of course, when he said that, it hit my pride, didn't it? And me being the only Irish guy in a rehab of probably 30 guys in Scotland, I tried to prove him wrong. I wasn't going to let him get the better of me, so I went up. But what I didn't tell him, and what I didn't tell anyone else, I wanted to believe. I really did want to believe. I just had concluded through what I saw in life. I concluded that God could not be real. How wrong was I? Because as I went forward for prayer, I left my body as this man prayed with me. And I was lifted up into the heavens, just like what I was saying. And as I was lifted up into the heavens, I seen Christ. And he was seated on a throne. What we read in the scriptures are not just images. This is what it's like in heaven. As I was lifted up, Christ was sitting on a throne. And my eyes were closed, but my spirit immediately recognized that this was Jesus, the Son of God. No man on earth could have told me that. I wouldn't believe them. But here I am, and I'm confronted with Christ. And I remember that this thing inside me just burst. Rivers of living water will come from within. And it burst within me, and it came flowing up and out. And I started to speak in a language I never heard before. And as I spoke in that language, it was like someone plugged me into an electrical socket, and I started to shake uncontrollably. It was like then I was immersed in this invisible river, this spiritual river, and it was warm, and it was thick, and it was, think about love on this earth and multiply it by a billion, and it doesn't come near it. This is the river of the water of life, and it flows directly from Christ. Where? From his throne in the heavens. And that is available to each and every one of us here. The river of Christ, the river of the water of life. It is real, it is not a story in a book. And he wants us all to be fully immersed in the love of God, in the love of Christ. He was struck for us so that this river could be poured out. Why would we not want what he wants for us? And it's beautiful. I remember I did not want to go. I wanted to stay there. I did not want to come back to earth. And you think about when we're passing on, for those of us that know Christ. And I know this is hard to say, but I had not got one thought for my family or one thought for my son. You know why? Because that was perfect love. That was perfect love. It's different. And when that time comes for us to pass, we will go willingly and happily into his presence, into that river of life. It's beautiful. That's what I was saying. Once you get a taste of this, you don't want anything else. What I spoke about there, it's called the baptism in the Spirit. And what does baptism mean but to be fully immersed? Doesn't it? It means to be fully immersed. And Jesus says to us all here, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Well then come. It's an open invitation. Come. Are you thirsty this morning? Is there something in you that wants more of Christ? Then come to him. And don't forget to drink. This guy said when he was praying for me, Gary, as you feel the Spirit of God come upon you, breathe in. Drink that in. And so as I sensed something was happening, I started to breathe deeply. And as I done that, I drank in the Spirit of God. And I know that sounds crazy, but Jesus tells us to come and drink. And there's something in that. It's something spiritual. I don't fully understand it. Sometimes you get it in worship. You'll sense that God is moving and you'll just breathe in deeply. And you'll feel that warmth of that Holy Spirit come. You'll feel that something is happening. You know. And so we are told to come and drink. Drink in the Spirit of God. Jesus says rivers of living water will flow from our hearts. Life will surge from our innermost beings. Life in its purest form. As pure as crystal. And that life contains the heavenly blessing. Think about this. God is actually pouring out himself into our lives. What do the scriptures say in Joel 2:28? And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. Ezekiel 39:29. And I will not hide my face anymore from them when I pour out my Spirit. Think about it. His life, his river of life, becomes our life. And it changes us completely from the inside out. We read in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. In came the river of the water of life. And you know what? That wind is still blowing. That river is still flowing. And Christ wants each and every one of us to drink in the fullness of his Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you feel that, you know, maybe you want something more from Christ, then we have to believe that he is here and more than willing to pour into you. Because he cannot lie. This is what his word says.